Good morning. Welcome you to Northeast, those who have joined us online and those who are here in our auditorium here in Cincinnati, Ohio. We welcome you on this beautiful Lord's Day. Thank you for taking the time to be with us. We want to be a church, and this basically is our mission, our motto, what we focus on at this congregation, and that is we want to be a church that loves God. We want to grow deeper. And we want to share Jesus. So if anybody asks you what we're about, that's what we're about. And that's what we want to focus on. Actually, we want to focus in the next series that we want to do. We're going to focus on growing deeper. And I want to ask you this question. When I ask you, what do you think about when I just make that statement, growing deeper? What do you think about? Anybody? Okay. Roots and a tree. Give those two people, whoever said that, a gold star. That is exactly right, and it is very, very important. What we're going to be talking about is establishing roots and in being like a tree. And I wanted to introduce you this morning, right off the bat, to the Bryant tree. This is a famous tree. How many of you have heard of the Bryant tree? Now, don't raise your hand. That's a trick question. You should not have heard of the Bryant tree. This is a tree in our backyard. All right? And this one right here on the right, that is the Bryant tree. But the Bryant tree has a story. It all goes back to 16 years ago when I was making a visit to Shelby and Louise Bryant. Attended here at Northeast. Louise has passed on, and Shelby is pretty much a shut-in at this point. But we had them over for dinner. We purposely had them over for dinner on one occasion because we wanted them to see this tree. And when we had them over for dinner, this tree was about this high. And it has grown since that time about 10 years ago when we had them over for dinner from about here to here. But this is why we call it the Bryant tree. We got it from them. Visited them one afternoon. We're sitting in the backyard, just sitting in some lounge chairs, just talking about life, talking about the faith, and just encouraging, praying. And she made a comment about a volunteer maple tree that was in their plant bed. And she says, I'm going to dig that up. And I said to her, I said, well, we could use a tree. We have one tree. It was this one. In our backyard, here's our deck. We wanted some shade, ultimately, in our backyard. So she said, dig it up, and we'll give it to you. So got a shovel, got a bucket, got some dirt, got some water, stuck it in that bucket, took it home, wrapped it in newspaper, and it sat in the garage for about a week before I did anything with it. But finally, I went out, planted it, put fertilizer around it, and lo and behold, 16 years later, not to the day, but around 16 years, this maple tree has surpassed this one when it was planted years later, a mighty, mighty maple tree that provides a lot of shade and does a lot of good. Think about roots, and think about what it means to be rooted, and you think about anything that grows from the ground, any plant that grows from the ground, it's not just about what happens above the ground, right? It's also about what happens in the depths. It counts what happens below. The soil is important. The nutrition is important. And the fact is, when you see a big old tree growing and you see it flourishing, it's as much about what happens in the unseen realm. Unless the roots are on the ground, they're down deep. They're down deep. And so this series is going to be about planting our hearts, our priorities, our values in the places where God calls us to plant our hearts and plant deep roots in a meaningful way. Because when we do that, we are going to prosper. When we do that, we're going to be and become what God is calling us to be. And as it says in Psalm chapter 1, that says, blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and upon that law he meditates day and night. He's rooted. He's rooted like a tree. And the results of being rooted like that tree, it says in the third verse, that person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither, and whatever they do prospers. Do you want that kind of life? Do you want to be like a tree? Do you want to be stable and secure and set and growing and prospering? That's the challenge for us today, because we live in a hurried and a distracted world. Would you agree with me, yes or no? We're on the go. We're busy. There are so many options out there. I think about how life has changed, not only since Bible times when they lived in agrarian times and families were close and there was no internet, there was no TV. If you wanted to play or find something to do, I'm sure back in that day, I mean, mom and dad probably said to the kids, if you're bored, go find a stick and a rock and go play. And then they would have to go do that for hours and hours and hours. But it's not like that today. I was talking with somebody this week about how television has changed. I was having a conversation with Charlene Boyd and some people in the office, and we were talking about the days of waking up on Saturday morning and watching those cartoons. How many of you got up early to watch the cartoons, the Jetsons, the Flintstones? I mean, I got up so early because we didn't have cartoons all over the place. Saturday morning, that was the only place you could get the cartoons, and you'd wake up. I'd wake up when that farming show was on, even before the cartoon started, when it was still dark. I couldn't wait to watch that, because the fact was I couldn't at 4 o'clock in the afternoon on a Tuesday watch a cartoon. I know you young people, you understand that it hasn't always been like it is right now. You think about the options that you have on TV, cable TV, all the channels and the options. Life is about all these options that want to distract us and pull us away and get us thinking about other things. Even if you go to Starbucks, do you know how many drink choices you have, or what drink choice combinations you have at Starbucks? Anybody want to take a guess? Too many. 80,000. I'm not making that up. I am not. If you take all their drink options and all the different ways you can do it, big, small, medium, I know they don't call it that, make it hotter than normal, make it an Americano, do all the latte, do the caramel, do all those things. So many choices. But life is that way. Life is that way. We're busy. We're distracted. We need to find a place where we can plant our roots in those areas that mean the most and will make the biggest difference in our lives. And so when we look at a passage like this one in Ephesians 3, it says, I pray that out of his glorious riches that he will strengthen you through his Spirit in the inner person, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted, and the NIV says here in this translation, established in love, may be able, together with all of God's people, with all the saints, to comprehend how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that is beyond knowing, so that you might be filled up to the very fullness of God. That's where we need to be rooted. That's where we need to be established. And Paul says in this passage, only two places in the New Testament that we read this word or see this word rooted. And in this passage, he says you need to be rooted and you need to be established in the love of God. And to know how great that love is, and when we experience that. And it's not just a head knowledge, it's a life knowledge. It's knowing the love of God. It's experiencing the love of God. It's embracing the God who loves us. It's about experiencing that. And Paul says the way you do it is being rooted in that. In the older translation of the NIV, it says they're rooted and grounded in love. And so as we look at the next passage, the only other one that talks about being rooted is one from our reading this morning. So then, just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, you belong to Him, continue to live your lives in Him, rooted and built up in Him. And when we do that, we're going to be strengthened in the faith as we've been taught, and we're going to be overflowing with thankfulness. And so we're called to be rooted in Jesus. And so that's where I'm going to be next week, in this passage, for most of my sermon. And I'm going to talk about what it means to be rooted in Christ and grounded in Christ, the Christ who gives us fullness in everything that we need. But here is the challenge. Sometimes we get caught up in trivial pursuits. We get caught up in a lot of those things that cause us to get diverted from what God is calling us to be, is God is calling us to do. I think of the words of a Fits in the Tantrum song. I have it on my playlist. It's catchy. It's a lot of their songs are kind of fast-paced, and it's one that if you hear it, you'll know it. But they say, I'm riding high, I'm never sleeping. I'm riding high, I'm never sleeping, because I am living for the weekend. I'm living for the weekend. What is it that we're pursuing in life? If we're going to talk about this idea of establishing roots, we need to ask ourselves, are we engaged in trivial pursuits like we used to play that game with little pieces of pie? How many of you played that years ago? Life can be that way. We can be so caught up in doing trivial things in trivial ways, being amused with life and seeking out entertainment. And, I'm just working for the weekend. I want to be happy. The only reason I'm working is I want to make money and I want to have fun. All of those things. In a lot of those pursuits, it's nothing but shallowness. Sometimes it avoids the big questions in life. I appreciated so much this email this Wednesday. We got it from the elders. So I hope you read that, but in this email, they asked this question. Our elders ask you this: do you struggle to switch off your electronic devices, and do you have trouble just sitting still and quiet with your thoughts? And then they go through all of these things that are available out there. And I'll tell you what, I think I know who wrote this, but I don't know half of these apps that they say that people use. Elo. I never heard of Elo. Am I showing my age here? Stream, Itch.io, Origin, Twitch, Upstream. What? Have y'all heard of those things? The young people have heard of those things. But the elders ask this question. They talk about being so caught up in our devices and being distracted. And our elders ask us this question. However, you perceive the benefit of all these devices and these systems primed to grab your attention, capture your thoughts, divert your energies from the moment we wake in the morning until the last moment before we drift off to sleep at night. We are lured into believing we are more efficient, more informed, more entertained, more connected digitally. We are more absorbed in our isolation, even while we are physically sitting mere feet away from others. Amen. Amen to that. Because when we begin this whole discussion about what roots mean and establishing roots, we have to ask ourselves the question, am I pursuing those things that make the most difference? Am I planning my life in those areas that really not only make my life better, but establish something even for eternity? A lot of people out there, they're just caught up in life and busyness, and they don't pause to really think about those big questions of life. And if we're going to plant roots, if we're going to plant our hearts in the hearts of those things of God, we're going to have to, you know, do some exploration on those things that are the heavy, deep questions of life. You know, where do I come from? Why am I here? Am I just a mass of atoms and cells and physical stuff? And when I die, that's it. No consciousness, no nothing, that's it. What about God? Does God exist? Is He real? Do we answer to Him? Does He have a purpose for our lives? And if God is real and He is there, what is He calling you to? What place is He leading you to follow in terms of where the direction you want to go in your life? Those are big, big questions. The fact is, we need to ask ourselves this question all the time. Where are you rooted? Where are you rooted? Where are you planting your roots? Let me put this another way. What are your priorities? What makes you tick? What are the things that dominate your thought and dominate your life? What moves you? Where does your passion come from? Where are you rooted? I think it's interesting, in all this talk about trees and roots, I mean, this whole discussion, it goes all the way back to the beginning. And you think about the first man and woman, Adam and Eve, they had a perfect environment. God created them for fellowship in such a way that God was able to appear to them in a theophany. That's the technical term for God appearing in a physical way. And so God would condescend to them in the garden, and they had a perfect existence. They had everything they needed. And yet God, when He created human beings, He wanted to create them with the ability to make free choices and to have free will. If God had created us as robots and programmed us to just do a certain thing a certain way, then loving Him or being devoted to Him or even having a relationship with Him wouldn't mean anything. And so human beings were created with a conscience, with a free will. And so there was a choice in the garden when God said to them, you can eat from any tree in the garden, but this tree, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, don't eat from that tree. Don't know what the fruit was. I don't think there was anything magical in that fruit itself, whatever it was. But they were created just like you and I are created, with the ability to choose. And if we are going to relate to God, and if we are going to enjoy mutual fellowship with God, there has to be a free will in that exchange. And along with that free will comes the choice to go a different direction or reject it. God didn't make them. He doesn't make you as a robot. And they made a choice. Satan comes to the woman and he says, you know, you can eat from any of these trees, right? And Eve says, no, well, we can eat from all of them, but we can't eat from that one. Because God says when we eat from that tree, we'll die. And Satan says to her, y'all know you'll not surely die. This is what will happen when you eat from that tree. You will have wisdom. You'll be like God because you'll be able to know the difference, or you'll be able to know what evil is, and you'll be able to know what good is. And so she looked at the tree and ate the fruit. And then the Bible says her eyes were opened. And she realized she was naked. And Adam did the same. He realizes he is naked. Before that, they were together and with God, and they didn't think anything about that. There was this openness. There was this lack of shame or guilt. But once she ate that fruit and they ate that fruit, something happened. A root began to be planted in their lives in such a way. And like I said, I don't believe there's anything in that fruit that magically turned something on in their minds. I believe it was the fact that God had created them with a conscience, with a sense of ought. And if He's going to create human beings who have free will, they have to have that sense of conscience. And that's what it was. As soon as she did that, as soon as they did that, they knew evil and felt guilt and shame because of disobeying God. And God shows up, and they've run off and they're hiding. They've sown fig leaves, and God's walking in the garden and says, "Hey, where are you?" He says, "We're over here. We're hiding because we're naked and we didn't want you to see us." And God says, "Who told you that?" And ever since that time, mankind, humankind, has struggled with this idea, has struggled with the reality of being tempted to plant one's life, one's thoughts, one's beliefs into something that ultimately brings rejection and loss and separation. Where are you rooted? I'm reading a book, I'm almost finished with it for this series, written by a lady named Sue Carson, and the name of the book is Rooted In. And in this book, she talks about this idea of being rooted in Christ, but one illustration that she uses about a root that was established in her life growing up was this root of isolation, was a root of feeling alone, was a root of feeling unloved. And part of that was due to the fact that she was raised in a dysfunctional family. Her father was distant. There was alcohol and other abuse in the family, and she just never felt settled in her life. She never felt like she was connected in the way that she wanted to be. But she said her grandparents, when they retired, they bought a farm up in Wilmington, Ohio. And she says that farm, she says, while she grew up in her family with roots that were rooted in isolation and a sense of loss, she said that there was a root that was also established in her life by what she experienced in the life of being involved with her grandparents on that farm. And she said she established other roots growing up even at that time. A root that was deep, a root that she felt that she belonged. And she said that root provided by her grandparents was one that sustained her and helped to lead her to better places in the past. But when we ask the question, where are you rooted, we also want to ask the question, what do you believe? Because what you believe, in large part, determines where you're rooted. And so we all have experiences in life. We all have memories. We grow up. Things happen to us. And as we grow up and as we experience things, we plant roots. We have beliefs about things that happen to us or things that are done to us or said to us or what we experienced growing up. I guess last week, Gene and I were watching, I think it was 2020, and it was a 2020 about a woman who, starting at 6 years old, was sexually assaulted by her stepfather up to age 14. Turned out, I'm not going to go off into all the details about that, but it turns out that the father was also a serial killer, by the way. So how would you like to find that? I didn't know that. She didn't know that. Didn't realize that. But as she talked about that experience, she's talking about how that affected how she felt about herself. And while she was innocent and while she was a victim, she grows up in this atmosphere experiencing this abuse, and you can't imagine what she's thinking about who she is. That she's worthless, that she's unloved, that she is somebody who's not worthy of love and somebody who is just at such a bad place in her life. Well, she had beliefs about who she was, but those beliefs were rooted not only in experience, but it was rooted in how she thought about those experiences. She was innocent, and yet she, in her mind, began to establish roots in her brain, in her life, in her soul, that led her later to a life of promiscuity and drug abuse and all kinds of things that were unproductive in her life. I'm not saying that everybody who goes through these things has that kind of experience, but what I am saying is that the experiences that we have, the things that happen to us, how we grow up, we ascribe meaning to those things, and we ascribe beliefs to those things. And when we hold on to those beliefs and we internalize them, they begin to plant roots in our soul, in our lives. And sometimes it's hard, it's difficult to reestablish those roots in different places. And so in the book of Hebrews, I'll talk about this guy here in just a second, but in the book of Hebrews it says, "See to it that no one falls short of the grace of God, and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many." A bitter root, a bad root, a bad root that causes harm to trees. This guy right here is Harvey Updike, and he is an Alabama fan. I don't know how happy he is this morning, but frankly, I don't care if he is happy or not. But he is infamous because back in 2011, he devised a plan because Auburn has these trees at Auburn that whenever they win a game, they roll these trees, two oaks there on Toomer's Corner, with toilet paper. Now, if you ask me, I think that's kind of silly, and I don't know why any fandom would want to do that, but that's what they do. But Harvey decides that he's going to do something about it, and so he devises a plan and puts a lot of thought into poisoning these trees. That's what he did. Snuck at night with a herbicide that was 500 times stronger than would be needed to kill a tree. You kill a tree, what do? You kill the roots. You kill the roots. And that's what he did. And what amazes me about what he says, he had to pay $800,000 in restitution, which he doesn't have. Was put in jail for a couple of months. And he's quoted here. He's asked, "I wanted Auburn people to hate me as much as I hate them." He says, "I just don't like Auburn, who is banned from Auburn's campus." Surprise, yeah, right. "You know, there are several things in this world that I really and truly don't like, and Auburn is one of them." I want to just ask this question, where is this guy rooted? He's rooted in some kind of sick anger and rivalry about another team, in this trivial pursuit of wanting to satisfy some need in his life to get back at Auburn. But the point is this: whether it's the anger or the sick actions of someone like this, or whether it's me struggling with something and kind of digging the roots where I don't care if I do it or not, it's like we need to be conscious of how we can plant roots of anger or resentment. Right here in the book of Hebrews, it says, "And that no bitter root grows up and defiles many people." So what do you believe? Where are you rooted? We can cause bitter roots. But we need to know this, and this is a universal thing related to what I'm sharing with you this morning. The fruit will always lead you to the root. And Jesus says, a tree is recognized by its fruit. You don't pick good fruit from a briar or from a thorn bush. A good man brings the good things out of the good things stored up in his heart. And so once again, in this series and talking about being rooted, we are talking about being rooted in the heart of God, being rooted in those things that build up our heart and make the lives of others better, not just us, but the lives of others. And when that happens, good things are going to happen. So I want to look ahead. This is what we're going to be talking about. We're going to be talking about how we're rooted in grace, in Jesus, in the Word. We need to be rooted in rest and reflection, and certainly we want to be rooted in God's love. One of the lessons will be about that. We need to be rooted in the right relationships, and last but not least, as we move into the Thanksgiving season, we'll be talking about being rooted in thankfulness. And so looking ahead, we want to not end up like this. We don't want to end up like this. What do you see there in that picture? What do you see? It's a bunch of weeds, and that's in our front yard. We have the big oak in the back, and in the front, we have this plant bed that we struggle with for years. Irises grow there, but we have struggled with weeds for years getting them out of that plant bed. And finally I told Jeannie, we just need to get some herbicide and just spray everything. Spray the weeds, spray the iris, be done with it, and start over. But the fact is, if we are not working to root out those things, or we don't have any roots ourselves, they're going to result in a weedy life that's going to just mess things up. So here's what we do. Take this with you this morning. And we'll be fleshing these things out in this series. Number one, growing deeper roots is a cooperative process. In other words, you don't do it on your own. And it's certainly God working in you, but we must cooperate with God. And God's at work in us, but we've got to make decisions and we've got to make choices. We've got to make a decision. If our life is in a mess, if we're angry all the time, or we're always in toxic relationships, or I'm constantly worried all the time, all these roots in my life that are causing angst and destruction, I need to get started. I need to take a step. And that's doing something. That's taking inventory. That's taking a few moments. If you're always playing video games and you're not paying attention to your kids, it's taking the time to make the choice to invest in your kids. There are a host of things that you can do to get more deeply rooted. And last but not least, growing deeper roots takes time. It takes time. You may be struggling. You may be having dealt with things for years. Roots in your life, anger, other things as well, addictions, problems, bad habits, toxic relationships. You want to do better. You try. You do this. You do that. You make resolutions. And yet, it seems like you're not making any progress. Well, the answer to that is persevering in doing those things that are going to bring the results. Because I'll tell you right now, you think about that tree in our backyard or the trees around that have been around for years, it didn't happen overnight. So if you fail, if you mess up, you don't give up. You persevere in planting those roots in the heart of God, in the life of God, in the life of Jesus. They're going to produce that fruitfulness and that abundant life that He calls us to. Do you want that? Is that what you want in your life? I encourage you to do what you need to do right now to make a decision to make those things right. And for some of you, it might be it's time to make that commitment and get started in being rooted in Christ. But whatever that need is, whatever that place is in your life, we want to help you. And we want to help you see Jesus because He's the one who can get you there. Let's sing.
Let's all stand.